to be honest, when I first read the gospel for today, my heart sank. I often find that the scripture recorded by John appears to me at times to be a style that is both complicated and circuitous. And today's selection seemed particularly so. For I prefer my reading to be straightforward and comprehensible. So it was a challenge to think on preaching on something that seemed at first sight to be a little difficult to understand. However, as I did some study on this passage, I happily discovered that the reading today is really all about unity. The story being told took place as Jesus and the disciples were gathered at the Last Supper. We joined them at a point when Jesus had turned away from the disciples and had begun praying to God. In a sense, then, we are eavesdropping on an intimate scene in which Jesus was praying to his Father, and so we are privy to Jesus' innermost thoughts. As we listen, we find that Jesus was praying for his disciples. And not only for those with him right then in that moment, but also on behalf of those who would come to believe in him later. He was praying for all believers, even us. And as the prayer unfolds, we discover that Jesus prayed over and over again for all to be one, just as Jesus was one with the Father. This prayer then presents us with a question. What does all being one look like? If Jesus himself prayed this for all of us, what did he mean? And if we are to live in oneness or in unity, how do we define it? For it is obvious that all the followers of Jesus do not live as one. In the United States alone, there are countless denominations and innumerable opinions of just how Christians are to live and exactly what they are to believe. If unity means sameness, conformity, or agreement, then we would have to say that Jesus' long-ago prayer did not have much of an effect on subsequent generations of Christians. For we seem to be anything but one. And in truth, it sometimes feels like we get more fragmented every day. This is true even within our own denomination, and our disagreements sometimes create tension and discontent. So, what are we to think? Is unity impossible? Well, if we look back at the text, the answer is no. For woven within this theme of oneness is also the theme of love. In this passage, Jesus said, "So that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." He also said, "So that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." So, the gospel takes us back to the same place it always does, which is, somebody, love, exactly. That's not a hard question. And you know, that's a relief, because it's clear that oneness cannot be about sameness of belief or conformity in practice or any of those other things that we get so hung up on. Instead, unity is to flow from love. Our love for God, God's love for us, and our love for each other. And as I always point out, this isn't romantic, mushy, emotions-based love, but instead is a love that is hard work, for it demands that we practice it with intention and compassion, respect and kindness. It is a love that we must work at and have in spite of how we feel and not because of how we feel. And it is in this love, then, that we find unity of purpose, which is to share the good news of Jesus Christ so that all may be one within his saving embrace. How we accomplish that purpose is unique to each denomination, each church, and even each individual. But the purpose is there. And if the love is there, we will succeed in carrying it out. And one way to envision this is to look at something that is complex in makeup, but beautiful in purpose. So, I brought an example. Choir, you're not going to be able to see it much because it's going to hang up here. But this is a weaving from my office that hangs there on the wall. And it's made up of different colors and different types of thread. And separately, if those threads would be sitting there, they'd just be a jumble of string that wouldn't look like much. But the artist took these various elements, and by weaving them together, a pattern was formed that gave those separate threads a beauty beyond their individual potential. And you know, if you stood up very close to the fabric and looked at just a small piece, those individual threads, well, they would stand out. And really, the pattern would look kind of random, and the stitches would look uneven. But if you stand back, the pattern emerges, and it's rich in color, and it's lovely to see. And so the different colors and the different stitches come together, and they create something new and unexpected. And in the end, the fabric is a pleasure to view, and it brings beauty to wherever it is. So, in much the same way, this is how we in the church come together. We are very different individually, and we share a variety of ideas and beliefs and practices. Some of us match up, and a lot of us don't. We believe in the basics of Christianity, but we vary widely in many of the particulars. But nonetheless, we all share in the love and ministry of Jesus Christ. And really, if you think about it, those differences are a good thing. Because if this weaving was all one color and it was all just one type of stitch, it would lack the detail and the nuance that brings it so much beauty. In the same way, Christianity and the church lacks its richness and depth if we expect everyone to think the same way and do the same thing. For Jesus calls us to oneness, not to sameness. And the richness of the diverse ways in which we worship, think, and believe in God are to be lifted up in praise and woven together with the love that freely flows from Jesus Christ. And even though we may do particular things differently, the overarching message of the gospel remains the same. We are to love God, and we are to love and serve each other. That is the oneness that holds us together. That is the unity that gives us room to be different. And that is what creates the wonderful family that we celebrate as we welcome all people into the body of Christ. For God's love is abundant and it's all-encompassing. It's full of surprises and it overflows with compassion. Through it, we are enabled to love. By it, we are commanded to love as God loves us. Jesus prayed that this would be the reality of our lives, and therefore we must do all we can to make it a reality. So, in the weeks or months or years ahead, as we continue to bump up against our differences and at times even sharply disagree, may we remember that we are called to unity through love, which means that a compassionate heart and a generosity of spirit are what we must cultivate. And if we can look at the beauty that surrounds us in all its infinite variety and notice all the things that bring us together, as well as the ways in which we are different, we may come to a better understanding of and a deeper appreciation for the wildly different and complex children of God who make up the body of Christ. Because it is the combination of our differences that adds beauty, interest, and complexity, and it strengthens our faith. We may never totally agree, but in the end, we have to remember that that is really okay, as long as we come together in love and we agree to serve each other in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.